I'm reading from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." This ancient passage tells us that the greatest work that you can undertake as a young man is to preach the gospel. And it is true, like Brother Jerry Dickinson said last night, we need volunteers. We need men who will rise up to the occasion, who are courageous and willing to preach the truth and nothing but the truth, who are willing to even maybe lay their lives on the line, because that's what it takes. You have to give the preaching of the gospel everything you have to be the kind of preacher that God needs. We not only need preachers, we not only need young men, but we need congregations. And that's what this passage is talking about. Not only do we need preachers, but we need churches who will send preachers. You know, we do a lot of calling. Nothing wrong with that. That's good. But think about it. How many preachers do you send? How many preachers are you involved in sending out into the world? There is a call comes ringing over the restless wave. Send the light. There are souls to rescue. There are souls to save. Send the light. Are we sending the light? We need young men who are willing to go. We need young women who will support their husbands in the preaching of the gospel. In the book of Ephesians, the Bible tells us that Jesus went to heaven. And when he went on ascending into the heavens, the Bible says he gave gifts unto men. He began the church in a miraculous way. He began the church in a powerful way, just like he began the creation. He created everything full grown with the ability to reproduce itself. And that's the way Jesus started the church. But today it's not a miraculous sending. God does not directly work upon our hearts. But of course we have a natural sentiment. In fact, we have what we call the second commission that was given to the second generation. Sometimes people say that the commission of Matthew 28 does not apply to us today. Well, I don't believe that. But even if it doesn't, Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, whatever things you have heard of me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Notice now that Paul says that Timothy, you are to commit these things. That's not taking a young man with you and traveling with him for a few months. In fact, Timothy knew full well by his training what that was all about. This idea of committing these things involves training. It involves time. It involves effort. Notice now that Paul says not everybody can preach the gospel. I'm so grateful that in most cases we have learned that when you get someone in the water, you don't put him in the pulpit before the water dries. I'm thankful that we have learned that people need to grow and develop. But we still have some problems with training. We still have some difficulties with getting men ready for the preaching of the gospel. Now, it's interesting how long to think. How long does a young man need to travel? How long does a young man need to train? How long does a young man need to be guided by an older preacher? This, of course, is the pattern of the Lord. Well, you know, we understand what it takes to train someone in the material world. I have a very close relationship with an older gentleman in Zambia by the name of Edson Mulu. Now, Brother Mulu is unique because he's in his 60s. Now, Brother Billy Dickinson talked about a high percentage of people in my generation in our population being in their 80s. I want you to understand something. It's not like that everywhere. My children in Zambia came home one day startled by a statistic they had learned in school. They said, "Dad, our life expectancy is 35. We better think about the time that's passing by. I'm talking tonight to you young men and young women. I want you to think about the career that you're going to choose. And I want you to think about becoming a gospel preacher. I want you to think about getting with an older evangelist, getting a church who will do their part and train you in the work of the Lord. Well, how long did Timothy travel and work with Paul? Did he have a dozen sermons and then he was sent out on his own? No way. You know, Paul's first experience with Timothy is in the 14th chapter of the book of Acts. Now, Timothy's not mentioned there, but we know that he met Paul at that time and probably he obeyed the gospel at that time. This was about 49 AD. And the reason we know that he was familiar with Paul on his first trip into that part of the country, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, Paul very descriptively describes the events that occurred there. He talks about those events. He talks about his persecution at Antioch, in Pisidia, Iconium, and Lystra. And he tells Timothy, you saw that persecution, you saw those problems with your own eyes. Well, he returns. Paul leaves, of course, the country. And he returns back to this part of the area. And it's probably somewhere around 52, so it's a few years later. He returns to the area where Timothy's home was found. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, that he had gained confidence between two churches. Now think about this. This is his training, the beginning of his training. And when Paul comes back to Lystra, the brethren recommend him to Paul. They encourage him to work with Paul. Now think about this. An evangelist is not somebody who has a dozen sermons. He's not somebody who decides he wants to be a preacher. He's somebody who has been trained. He's somebody who has been sent out by the church. Now, think about this. Where did Timothy's teaching begin? It began with his grandma. I'm so grateful today for my grandmother. His training began with his mother. You see, young ladies, you may have a career. You may have interests in your life, but I'm going to tell you something. That little baby you hold on your knee, that's the greatest asset that the church has. That's the greatest asset that you have. You know, we talk about how terrible society is and how horrible the world is. It can be shown mathematically that there probably was at least 6.5 billion people. Do you realize that's the number we have currently on the earth at the flood? Noah was told at least 20 years before his first son was born. He was told that the world was going to end and that he needed to prepare for that ending. Now you think about it. Noah's son was born into a society of billions of people who the Bible says were only evil continually. In fact, it says in Genesis, the 6th chapter, the imagination of man's heart was only evil continually. I'm telling you, you can raise your child even in this society. In fact, Noah was not only successful to raise his firstborn son, but all of his sons, their wives got on that boat. In spite of the fact that out of billions of people, there were six who were righteous. So I'm telling you tonight, Timothy's training began in the home. And that's where it begins in our lives too. We need to be teaching our sons and our daughters that the church has to come first. I'm telling you, we have gotten to a point where ball games have nearly killed meetings. Now, it's not wrong to play ball. I played ball, but I'm going to tell you something. On Wednesday night, when they were playing ball and it came time for church, my parents put me in the car and we went to church. If there was a gospel meeting at my home church where I was growing up, it didn't matter what I thought about it. Whether I was a star player and I wasn't too bad or not, it didn't matter. We got in the car and we went to church. Didn't matter what the coach thought. Didn't matter what people said. We went to church. You know why? Because Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And they have to see you put God first. The training of preachers, the training of leaders in the church begins in the home. Don't decide you're going to go off on some hunting trip and miss church on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Show your children that the church means business to you. It's first. There's nothing that takes precedent over you and your commitment to the Lord. That's the beginning of the training. Timothy's training began in the home, and he was trained locally in those two congregations. Now, I don't know how extensive that training was. We don't have that information. But we do know that when Paul came back into the country, a few years later, both the leadership from Iconium and the leadership from Lystra recommended Timothy in the work. So he had been involved. You know, sometimes I wonder if we really believe the song that we just sung. Go forth in the name of the Savior. Because then we tell our kids to get a high-paying job, buy a big home, get a bigger car, have a nice boat, and the work goes wanting in the church. When's it going to change? The church is in trouble. And you know why it's in trouble? Because of us. Because we're not putting the Lord first. Listen to me. The church needs to take the time to train its young men. Leadership needs to take the time to train young men. They encouraged, after training Timothy, all they could for Timothy to travel with Paul. Do you realize that he worked with Paul? Now, he wasn't with Paul all during this time. Sometimes Paul would send him out and call him back. He would get reports from the brethren, and he would send him to another place, and he would go and find out how he did there. But for over 13 years, he was under the guidance and instruction of the Apostle Paul. Go forth in the name of the Savior. With tidings of love divine. Tell others who wander in darkness how light unto them doth shine. I am so grateful tonight for the sacrifice that has been made. Maybe I wouldn't be in the church today. Maybe I wouldn't know about the Lord. Maybe I wouldn't have had the opportunities that I've had. I'm so grateful for that. There are men and women through the years that have made sacrifice. I'm grateful for that, and I appreciate that. I don't want it to sound like I'm down on everybody, because I'm not. There are congregations who have sacrificed. I'm going to tell you something, Bruce. I appreciate what you said, but those churches that were supporting foreign work, they didn't die because they were supporting foreign work. Please don't leave that impression. Now, I know that's not what you meant. The Bible says that we have an obligation to spread the gospel from the rivers to the ends of the earth. Now, I want you to think about this, because it happened and started in Texas. Now, I'm not a native Texan, but I'm thankful tonight for the privilege to live in Texas. And one of the reasons is that because Sister Byford did what she could. Do you realize how the work in Nyasaland got started? Sister Byford, in the 1940s, I don't know exactly when it was, I got the date somewhere in my notes, but Sister Byford took a dollar bill and wrote Brother Homer Gay an invitation or a request to send E.C. Sevier a copy of the OPA. Now, who'd have thought a dollar would make a difference? Paul and Wilma Nichols, a young couple. You know, Wilma might have been in her teens. I don't know. I know she wasn't much past her teens. She's probably 20 or 21, maybe. But in 1952, they made a trip to Nyasaland to preach the gospel. Now, they could have flown on an airplane, which would have been a much more pleasant trip. But some of our brethren objected to flying on airplanes to preach because Paul didn't fly. And so Paul decided, he said, look, we can go on the Queen Mary. So they got on that ship in New York Harbor. And I'm going to tell you, in 1952, for our preachers to be going to Africa, well, you just died when you went to Africa in those days. It's like going to the moon. They got on that ship and they went to Nyasaland. They rode the Queen Mary to Mozambique. They got on a train and they finally ended up in where they were destined. Well, I want you to think about this. Paul Nichols is still alive, and we owe him a great debt of gratitude for that. For 60 years plus, in southern Africa, now we're talking about the second largest continent in the world, you know, 6,000 miles long, 5,000 miles wide. But I'm talking about just a small section that would include Texas and Louisiana and Arkansas and Oklahoma and Missouri. In southern Africa, for over 60 years, we have averaged 60 new congregations with a membership at least 60 in each church for over 60 years. Now that's more, in 1 year in Africa, we have grown so fast that most of us who live in the United States as gospel preachers will live our whole life and not see 60 new churches established. You think about that. There are over 5,000 congregations in southern Africa. And that's a conservative estimate, even if you don't count some of the churches that have been brought in because of money. I'm not counting those, that group. What's the point? The point is we need preachers. Jesus told us to go into all the world. We need men and women who are willing to go where they're needed. You know, we have a new work in Mozambique. Or not Mozambique, in the Congo. We have three churches there. There's nobody, there's no preachers being supported. They've been doing work for about 3 years. The church at Edmond spent money to help get them registered with the government. But we have a new work there. We need a church who's willing to see after that work. Someday, at some point, we might need a preacher to go there. It's not safe to live there now. The Zambians been going up there doing the work because they can blend in. Some of you young men, you ought to make that your goal someday to go to the Congo. You need to study French. Because in that country, if you're going to deal with the government, you got to speak French. Now in Africa, normally it doesn't help to learn a lot of language or learn a language because there's so many languages that they speak. In Zambia, they speak 70. And they have to use translators. But from 25 years ago when Biddy went there, there were two churches when Biddy Cryer went there in 1985. Now there are over 350. We're not sure how many there are in Zambia. The work will grow. Now, we don't need preachers just to go to Africa. We need preachers here. There are other places in the world where we need preachers. In this generation, we have grown bigger than we've ever been. Now, I know that things are bad, and sometimes we've had difficulties, and some things are causing us concern, but we're growing, and we're growing stronger in many ways. In conclusion, I want to remind you of an old song. Rise up, O men of God. Have done with lesser things. God, give heart and mind and soul and strength to serve the King of Kings. Lift high the cross of Christ. Tread where his feet have trod. As brothers of the Son of Man, rise up! Rise up! O men of God. Now, I don't know the minds of those who are present, but you know, I've lived long enough. I didn't, like Barney Owens used to say, I didn't fall off the tater wagon yesterday. I know that in an audience this large, there are people that need to obey the gospel. I say that without any doubt. And I know that the gospel has been preached, and I know that you're thinking about it. You wouldn't be here if you weren't interested. You may be sitting in the back, or you may be over here on the side. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are. Jesus, with outstretched arms, is pleading with you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Paul said, though he were rich, yet for your sake and yours, he became poor. You think about it. Jesus left heaven to give you the opportunity tonight to obey the gospel. He died on the cross to purchase your soul. He paid the price. And tonight, the invitation is open. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you're here tonight and you need to obey that gospel, we implore you. If you're here and you've allowed sin to come in your life, you've been sitting in your place and you've been putting off doing what you know you ought to do, then right now is the time to rise up. Rise up, old men and women of God. If you need and are subject to the gospel, we encourage you to come while we stand and while we sing.